From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Our global roundtable is back with us today to discuss the world's news. But first, we're going to start right here in the United States with the latest on Hurricane Dorian. Are you in Dorian's path? Have you evacuated? We want to know what it's like where you are. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And let's go straight to Miami, where Brian McNulty joins us. He's Senior Research Associate in Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Miami's Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. Brian, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Meghna. Thank you.
So we'll talk about what's in store for the southeastern United States in a second. But first, Brian, if I could, I'd like to focus a little bit on the Bahamas right now, because as we've heard the Prime Minister of the Bahamas saying that they are experiencing historic damage there. Here's a little bit from the Bahamas Foreign Minister, Darren Henfield, talking to reporters last night about the destruction caused by Dorian, the devastating destruction. He was also warning his people who did not evacuate that they must stay inside their homes.
It is not safe to go outdoors. Power lines are down, lamp poles are down, trees are across the street. It is very dangerous to be outdoors if you don't have to be outdoors.
That's the Bahamas Foreign Minister, Darren Henfield, saying power lines are down, lampposts are down, it's dangerous to be outdoors. So Brian McNulty, is the Bahamas going to get a break from Dorian?
Unfortunately, not real soon. It's just been an unimaginable thing to have happened there, to have a Category 5 hurricane just come in and stall over the Grand Bahama, basically, for 24 hours. Things will gradually improve as the storm starts to drift north, but as of now, it's just literally a drift, 1 mile per hour. So it's not in any hurry to leave those places who, of course, wanted to move away as quickly as possible, let things, you know, start to see what has happened and how to start trying to get people found and safe.
Mm-hmm. So that stalling of Dorian over the Bahamas means that they've been suffering from 120 mile an hour winds, if not more, and ceaseless rain lashing Grand Bahama, especially. Why did it stall for so long?
Yeah, there was a bit of, it was always forecast to come to a gradual stall and then turn north near the Florida coast. But the length of that stall was not really foreseen too well. And so what happened is the ridge to the north, which is what would help steer it west a little bit, and a trough to its north as well that's coming across the eastern U.S., that is what was kind of slowing down. And without the trough moving in to erode the ridge and allow the storm to move north, it just had nowhere to go. It basically, with all hurricanes, they're just along for the ride. Mm. They just ride these troughs and ridges and go with the flow, as the saying goes. And so when there is no flow, they can't go. And that's exactly what happened here.
Wow. Now, I'm seeing here that Dorian is being called one of the strongest storms on record in the Atlantic, but it's since been downgraded from Category 5.
Correct. Yeah, it's presently a Category 3 hurricane, and that's still an extremely strong hurricane, but it has weakened since its peak intensity. But at its peak intensity, it is... way up there in the top three that we're aware of in the Atlantic.
Mm. Well, actually, about Dorian stalling, we have a comment on our website. A listener wants to know if a hurricane has stalled this long before.
Well, that's a good question. Offhand, I can't think of one, especially a strong hurricane like this that just came and basically re- for 24 hours. It's certainly uncommon. A couple of recent examples of hurricanes that came in and made landfall and weren't in a hurry to move along. Of course, 1 year ago, almost exactly, September 14th, Hurricane Florence made landfall in North Carolina and lingered there for a few days, not perfectly stationary and not a Category 5. And then a year before that, we had Hurricane Harvey make landfall as a Category 4 near Rockport, Texas. It moved inland and weakened, but then it just, again, hung around that area of eastern Texas for, I believe it was just about a week, and just rained and rained and rained.
Yeah.
So it's not too unheard of to have these storms sit and linger, but to have a Category 5 come to a stop over you is just unimaginable.
Yeah. Now, we're remembering here how with Superstorm Sandy, for example, we didn't even need to have a hurricane class storm for huge amounts of damage and loss of life to occur. So as Dorian eventually moves, even if it's in its downgraded status, it seems as if the southeastern United States still has to be on very high alert.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is expected to weaken more. So by the time it starts moving, it probably will still be a Category 3 for a while longer. But later into, the end of the week, it should weaken more. But the important thing is to not pay attention to just that. There is still a very large threat, even from a weaker hurricane. A hurricane is still strong. So, to call it a weaker hurricane doesn't mean it's of no concern. So, yeah, we are still looking at a very significant threat all along the coast from central Florida up into North Carolina by the end of the week. And they're wise to be doing what they're doing. They're getting people away from the coast.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that point, let's listen to National Hurricane Center Director Ken Graham. Yesterday, in a press briefing, he told folks along the Carolina coasts, along Georgia and parts of Florida, to evacuate if their local municipalities are telling them to do so. And to your point, Brian, Ken Graham said that even if Dorian is downgraded, it's an extremely dangerous storm.
Historically, 50% of fatalities. Storm surge is a very dangerous situation. Pay attention to it. Again, the officials tell you to leave, and leave early because that water gets there before the storm does.
The water gets there before the storm does. Brian, I mean, you're there in Miami. Have you heard from elsewhere, let's say even in Florida, if the water's starting to get there?
Absolutely, yeah. Even down here, and we're pretty far south from where the impacts are. We've been experiencing a little bit of we're having pretty high tides now, but we're getting some of this wind effect also even down here. So certainly further north, from like the Cape Canaveral region, they will start to see these impacts real soon if they haven't yet.
So what is the, can you tell us what the best guess on the forecasted track of Dorian is going to be over the next couple of days?
Yeah, it's looking more and more likely that the eye wall and eye will remain offshore. It's not a sure thing yet, but it's looking likely. And while that is good news, it still brings that risk of wind-blown ocean, which is what a storm surge is, that risk is still there, even if the storm eye and eye wall remain offshore.
Well, here is ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z showing a video today on Good Morning America of a man getting pushed off a pier by a wave and into raging waters. I mean, Ginger was saying it's a warning, really, to heed official warnings about storm surges.
It is only going to get worse. The beach is not the place, and certainly not a pier or jetty that goes out, because this angry sea is coming from a hurricane that we have seen what damage it can do. So storm surge warnings do extend up along the coast.
That's ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z. I'm joined by Brian McNoldy. He is Senior Research Associate in Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Miami Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. Brian, you were just saying a second ago that the eye wall of Dorian might stay off the coast, but how many more days is this storm going to have an effect on the southeast, or even just the east coast of the United States in total? Is this something that we're going to have to keep our eye on for the whole rest of the week?
Yes, it will still be something. It's going to gradually work its way north, and then so by Thursday and Friday is when we'd be looking into the South Carolina and North Carolina areas. But for the remainder of Tuesday, or, you know, basically Tuesday into all day Wednesday, we've got the east coast of Florida. That's at pretty high risk.
And how, I should have started by asking, how are you doing and storm prep and all of that?
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. We're pretty ready for something much worse, you know, just in case. We were never at a high risk down here of something happening, but there was certainly a risk, and people here were, they got ready for it. So I think people here are relieved that the storm is not ours.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing that the mayor of Miami-Dade County is collecting, saying the county will be collecting items to send to the Bahamas to help with the devastation there. So Brian McNoldy, Senior Research Associate in Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Miami Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll have our global roundtable with a lot of news from around the world. So stick with us. This is On Point.